Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
So this week I want to start a new series. Just the Lord's going to speak to me about going back to basics. There's so many things that have come out of transitioned out of the pandemic. This past week, I was participating in a conference that talked about cultural Christians and the culture that has changed as it pertained to Christians. And it was interesting, you know, Pastor Lori and I have Pastor Lori listen to it also. And it talked about cultural Christians, those that, you know, came to the church, you know, when the church was open and saw it as, you know, an effort. They made the effort to be in church, and they could be there just for holidays. They could be there once in a while, you know, but they, depending on the cultural, you know, system or norm of the season, they attended church. And they talked about how now we're in a season where those cultural Christians are no longer coming back to church because they don't see the need for church. They don't see the need for church. In other words, through the pandemic, they got used to doing things on their own. Whether they came to church for the worship, came to church for the preaching, came to church to be blessed or to be prayed for because they're going through struggles in their life. Through the pandemic, through the isolation, they've had to figure out how to do things on their own. And in that, lessen their dependence on the Lord, lessen their dependence on the church or fellowship with the church or connection with the church. And now are no longer see the need for church, no longer necessarily even see the need for the Lord, can even have a casual relationship with the Lord. As things happen, they can return to the Lord. And so we saw the evidence of that when the pandemic started, right? The churches were just packed. Online was crashing because so many people, some of them out of fear, you know, because they thought the world was coming to an end and Jesus was coming back. But as things got normal, you know, people drifted, people whatever, and they got used to their own lives and even drifted away from church. And some of the stats that anywhere from 50 to 80% in some churches, attendance, people did not come back. 50% of the people to 80% of the people didn't come back. And that says to me that there was a lack of grounding in Jesus Christ. There was a lack of grounding in their faith. And those remain consistent through the pandemic, consistent even now, logging on to hear the message, to be part of worship, to attend a service. You know, those are people who have had a foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, and they are now continuing that strong walk with Jesus and no longer see it as something on the side, as something I can pick up here and there. But their faith, their relationship with Jesus Christ is what continues to grow and what continues to mature. And their mindset is no matter what happens in life, no matter what happens in this world, they're going to serve Jesus Christ. No matter what they're going through, they're going to serve Jesus Christ. And they're going to be part of a local body of believers to grow and mature and to be a part of each other. And so one of the important scriptures that Paul talks about is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, don't forsake coming together, right? That's what we saw it important for us to have in-person services. So make the effort, you know, wherever you are, to just come into an in-person service when you can so that we can worship together. And that fellowship, that togetherness is what blesses us and what encourages us. So I want to read a few scriptures this morning, and I'm going to invite you to just participate with me in looking at these scriptures and write them down. I'm going to put them on the screen, and there's, you know, four passages that we're going to read. Can be kind of long, but I just want us to be able to read them together. And first is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and starting at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. It says this: For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a more excellent way. Let's look now to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. We're going to go from verse 3 to 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we are many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in portion to our faith, if service in our serving, in the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. I'm going to read also Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 19. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19, and it says this, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. And then lastly, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, or urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. I'm saying he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, we speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joint and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would just speak so clearly to us. We just pray this morning, God, that you would bring us back to the basics of understanding who we are, whose we are, and what you have knit together, what you have done through us, through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you would remind us again what you have done in the church and through the church, and what you've called us to do. And over these next few weeks, I pray, God, that as we grow and as we mature, and as we return back to the areas of giftedness and service, Lord God, and operating within the body of Christ, that we would first see our value that we have in you, the value that we have within the body of Christ, and the need that we are as part of this body. In Jesus' name, I pray that you cover each one, bless each one, God, as I also ask that you would allow your presence to be in each home, that we may have ears to hear and a spirit to respond to your word. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, and amen, and amen. And so that I don't disappoint you, I just also want to welcome you to the wonderful month of November. Thank you, Jesus. I just had to release that. That came with the anointing. So welcome to the wonderful month of November. I'm so happy that you are here. You see how the weather is? Like, you just gotta thank God. We just gotta thank God. You see how miserable October was? You see how miserable it was? You see how blessing November was? See how the heat just came in November to give you some good weather? So, you know, Jesus and I say welcome. And all the November people that are on the chat, we just say welcome. Praise the Lord God, right? So let's look into the Word of God this morning. We find in these passages about the church being the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians that I read, and if Romans, Ephesians, and Colossians. And the first two talk about, you know, Paul teaching about the unity of the church, despite the diversity of its members. There's unity that's there. And then he talked about the relationship that Christ has with the church, that Christ has with us as individuals, than he has with the church. One of those who, you know, those who have are part of the church, part of the body, we become part of the body of Christ because we have been saved by grace through faith. When you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became part, you automatically became part of the body of Christ. You automatically became part of the church of Jesus Christ. When you became a believer in Jesus Christ, and some of you may yet to become believers, when you do, you become part of the body of Jesus Christ. And Scripture distinctly uses the phrase body of Christ to demonstrate our identity, the oneness that we have, the oneness that we have as believers in Christ. And so this metaphor that is used helps us to understand how we should relate to each other, how we should relate to each other as fellow believers in the church, and how we should even relate to Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And in these passages, Paul uses the body of Christ, this metaphor, as a body to help explain the great detail of the function of way the church should be, the unity and diversity within the church, not only the local church, but also the church at large across the world of all those who claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So there's three things I want to point out this morning in just teaching about the body of Christ. The first thing is this: Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Just like how we look at a normal body, we have a head that is so vital to the existence of our body functioning and functioning properly. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Now, to understand what Paul meant by head as he describes Jesus Christ as the church, we need to look at the word head that he used, and even as a reference to it in the Old Testament. Because they use the term head as they're described as a chief of a group, a person who is the head of a group, the leader of a group, the chief of a group. But then also they used it in the context of the beginning of something, the first of something, the starting of something, the beginning of something. So Paul introduces an element of the body of Christ in this metaphor by talking about Jesus Christ as the head of the body, and from whom the body finds its life, whom the body finds how it grows is through the head, as how the body functions through the head. And so to say that Christ is the head of the church is not to say that Christ can't exist without the church. Okay, as the head can't live without the body. Jesus Christ is eternal. And he himself, and John 8, verse 58, the Bible says that he says, before Abraham was I am. Before the church came into existence, Jesus Christ already existed. And he'll exist. He therefore can exist separate from the church and even distinct from the church. Christ is also the head over the world outside and beyond the church. As Paul states in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, Christ is ahead of every ruler and every authority. He is above all. He's above all. He's beyond all. And Christ, therefore, is the ruler and the beginning of the church. He's the ruler and the beginning of the church. He's the head of the church. And the church then submits to Christ and finds life in him, right? The church submits. We are to submit ourselves to Christ because in him we find our life. And so the church, as the body of Christ, has no life apart from its head. The church has no life apart from Jesus Christ. We can use the term church. We can use the analogy of church. We can even say that we're a church. But if Jesus Christ is not the head, if Jesus Christ is not at the head of the body that determines the life of the body, then it is not part of his body. Then it's not the church. We see so many counterfeits that are out there today. So many counterfeits that claim to be the church, but yet when you look, you realize that Jesus Christ is not the head, Because in order for Jesus Christ to be the head, the word of God needs to be obeyed. And then people have to then behave as though they're responding to the head and the word of God is the head. A couple weeks ago, I saw this video of this trans pastor, this trans-dressed pastor who claims to be an evangelist. And even the pastor of this church began to talk about this dresser, this trans person who's dressed up like the woman, the man who's dressed up like a woman, claiming to be an evangelist, to go from church to church and be able to talk about the unity of Christ and the love of Christ and how Christ accepts all. And what was really disgusting to me was that the fact that they had the children up on the stage for him to talk to the children. And to talk about, oh, you know, how God loves and God accepts everybody just the way they are. And so there's this claim that Jesus is the head, but if they're not obeying the word of God, then Jesus Christ is not the head. We can pretend to be having church. We can pretend for it to be looking like church. We can act like things are like church, but if Jesus Christ is not the head of the church and the word of God is not obeyed as the word, as Jesus Christ calls us to obey it, then it is not part of the body of Christ. And Jesus even goes as far as to say, hey, you know, let the wheat and the tares grow together. Let the sheep and the goats grow together, because the days of separation is going to come where we will see who the true church is, those who really had Jesus Christ as the head and those who obeyed him, compared to those who were so deceived by the devil to think that they had Christ as the head, but yet he was not part of the head of the church. And so its life is imparted to us through Jesus Christ. It's imparted to us by Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4, which I read, that it's joined and it's knit together. There's a joining, there's a knitting together. Just how our body has ligaments and joints that holds everything together, so Jesus Christ holds everything together. Just how our own head, you know, allows me to hold my hand up. In other words, my hand can't hold itself up on its own. My head has to tell my hand to hold itself up. So Jesus Christ has knitted and has joined the church together. Jesus created, he sustains the body. He cares for the body, his church, the church. And it's always represented in its members. The members that are of the body of Christ not only form the body, but there's a representation of Jesus Christ in each individual member. That's why Jesus said, I will build my church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot overtake it, can't prevail against it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so as the head of the church, Jesus Christ has all authority over it. Hello? As the head of the church, Jesus Christ has all authority over the church. He has all authority over us as Christians. And we then must walk in obedience to what the head of the church is telling us. And I'm not even talking about pastors and leaders. I'm only talking about Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who has built this church, who's holding the church together, who the church cannot survive without him. He holds all authority over it. He holds all authority over every Christian, over every church, every local church that claims him as Lord and Savior. And therefore, as believers, as the church, we must walk in obedience to him. There must be evidence that we are walking in obedience to him and to his word. And so the church must demonstrate to the world the way of life commanded by Jesus, shown by Jesus. Because the world, when they don't see us acting like Jesus or acting like the word of God, they then accuse us of being hypocrites. Because we're saying one thing but doing another. As Jesus Christ is our head, whatever he calls us to do, whatever the word of God has laid out for us to do, we follow it. There's no negotiation with the head. There's no negotiation. Jesus doesn't have a meeting with the rest of the body to say, hey, you know, what do you guys think? He's the head. He's in charge. He's the one who leads. He's the one who directs. And so we, as a church, as a person, as an individual believer, but as the body of Christ of Dayspring, as the body of Christ throughout the world, there must be a demonstration of the way that has been commanded to us by Jesus Christ to be able to live out the gospel and present the gospel. So Jesus Christ is the head of the body. The second thing is there's diversity in the body. There's diversity in the body. There's variety in the body. Paul appears to be responding to a question in Corinthians to the church. Maybe he was asked about concerning spiritual gifts, but he seems to be responding to a question in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. In the first part of the chapter, he lists a number of spiritual gifts that Christians might receive through the Holy Spirit to use as the Holy Spirit wills them to use it. In other words, that the Holy Spirit sees as determined, as necessary at a particular moment within the particular church, as ministry is needed, as help is needed, as the gospel is being presented, these particular gifts are available to us that the Spirit now allows us to use or blesses us to use or makes available for us to use. And so from verse 12, he starts off comparing the use of the different gifts by the different members of the church with the way that in which the parts of the body functions. He begins to look at the church and the different gifts within the church, and he compares it to the way the body functions, the way our human body functions. He makes that connection, and he does this as he makes us aware of he was aware of the church, the division that was in the church, the divisive attitude that the Corinthian church was going through. Because there are people who are placing a higher value on certain gifts and therefore on individuals who are demonstrating those gifts. In other words, they were saying that those who had particular gifts were greater and better than others, and therefore they were honoring them over honoring the other gifts. And Paul then says, oh, I got to address this, guys. You got to talk about this. And by comparing the members of the church to the parts of the body, Paul begins to illustrate how absurd it is for anyone to consider or to consider themselves inferior or superior to anyone else. Meaning, as the pastor, as God has called me to lead and be the head of this church, for me to think that I'm any higher or superior than anybody else in the church, he says, come on, guys, it's ridiculous. He says, just as the head can't say to the foot, so a person can't say in the church, I can't work with his other person. Just as the foot can't say to the head, I have no need of you, or I'm better than you. He says, just how our own foot can't say to our own head, look, I have no need of you. I can do this without you. He says, so it is in the body of Christ. He says, the ear can't say to the eyes, hey, I have no need of you. We can survive without you. He says, that's not how the body functions. And Dayspring Christian Church, the head can't say to the foot, hey, we don't need you. Right? The hand can't say to the ears, hey, we don't need you. We're greater than you because our hands are moving. I can punch, I can lift. All you do is sit there on the head and you just listen. What's that? You just listen. What do? You just sit. You don't even move. You can't even do anything. You just sit there. But look at me. I have fingers. I can grab. I can do stuff. I definitely am more important than you. And then the ear says, go ahead and move. Try to do something without listening. The ear says, oh, go ahead. Okay, I'm going to talk to you, but don't use your ear. Just use your hands to listen. If you think it's so big and bad, just put out your hand and try to listen. You see what Paul was trying to say? Look, you can't sit there and think that one is more important than the other. That's why my philosophy of ministry is everybody's a minister. I am trying so hard to work myself out of a job. I'm trying so hard to work myself out of a job. People are running. I'm trying to get them into the work of Christ. Why? Because I need the hands. I need the knees. I need the feet. I need the back of the head. I need the lower back. Try to function with your lower back being sore. And lower back, if you don't do anything in church, we are trying to function holding on to our lower back because it's not functioning properly. There's different members, Paul was trying to say. Paul says you can't say one part of the body is better than the other. One part of the body says, I have no use of you. Do you hear me, church? Those of you who may have not seen the importance of coming together as church, those of you may see it as, hey, I used to serve on this, but there's no need for me to serve in that area. Hey, we cannot say we have no need of you. We still need you to serve in your post. We still need you to serve. We still need your smile to greet. We still need your hands. We still need your feet. We still need you. You're part of the body of Jesus Christ. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. It says, the body cannot consist of one member, but many. The body cannot, I can't chop my hand off and say to my hand, go ahead and live. I can't even chop my head off and say, go ahead and live. He says, the body does not consist of one member, but many. He says, so if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong. No one needs me. Like, I could just stay home. I could just stay home. I don't have to do anything. Like, you know, they don't need me. They need feet there. They need a bunch of feet. They need a bunch of hands. Right? They need a bunch of mouths. They need a bunch of lips. That's what Dayspring needs. Dayspring needs a bunch of lips. Yeah, even though I'm a knee, they don't need me. They don't need me. Because the many parts make one body. The many parts of us, every single one of us, church, makes up the body. Do not believe the lie that you're not important. Do not believe the lie that you're okay to sit at home and not pray. Don't believe the lie that they'll survive without me. We are not surviving without you. We can't survive without you. We can't even pretend to survive without you. We can't. You ever see someone whose foot is sore and they try to act like they can walk properly? You can't do it. You can't pretend they're trying to walk straight when you know that your foot is sore. You can't. You can't. Do not believe the lie. The Bible says that it is God in verse 18, but it is God. God arranged the members in the body in each one of them as he chose. God put everybody in the church for a particular purpose. The way God arranged our human body is the same way he arranged the body of Christ, the way he arranged the local church. Every part of the body has a function, and God placed everything there the way he wants it to be. God arranged the body and put the body where it needs to be. Each part of the body has a responsibility for where it is, exactly where it is. Each part of the body works equally. No one can avoid the responsibility in the church because every responsibility is important. Every single person is important. Every part of the body has a role to play, and every role is vital. It's absolutely vital. You are vital to Dayspring Christian Church. You are vital to the body of Christ on a whole. You are vital to the functioning of the body of Christ. So don't tell yourself anything less. There's diversity in the body, and each part is so important. And the part that God has called you to play as a believer, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're automatically enlisted as part of the body of Christ, and therefore you're to operate in the body of Christ because you're vital and you're important, and the church is waiting for you to function. Waiting for you to function. It's like putting your hands in your pocket and then expecting to pick something up. The church can't function. The body can't function because the hands are stuck in the pockets. Now, will the body move forward? The body can still move forward. The body can still run, can still jump with the hands that are stuck in the pocket. The body can still look. The body can still beckon, but it's limited. Because if the hands are in the pocket, we'll have to point with our mouth. Right? That's what West Indians do. The Africans do. They point with their mouth. Look, look. Over there, look, look, look. The finger is supposed to point. The hand is supposed to point. But look, look, go over there. Look, look, right there, look, look. And we're trying to get our lips to point when the lip was never meant to point. And the lip is saying, please stop using me to point because I look foolish, pushing myself out there trying to point when you have a finger to point. Do you get it? So the body has diversity and every part is important and every part has to function the way it was called to function. Don't leave the lip to point. And some of the lips are tired of pointing while the hands are in the pockets. Some of the lips are tired of pointing while the hands are in the pockets, church. The third thing is this. There must be unity in the body. There must be unity in the body. Unity and diversity is the very essence of the body. Unity, and the many parts that we have functioning together about one thing, keeping you alive and functioning properly. A body is by definition made up of many parts, each with its own purpose and role. Each with its own purpose and role. Think of your own body. Each has its own purpose and its own role. And so this unity is important. That just like the parts of our human body, the members of the church suffer together. They rejoice together, as Paul says. And what affects one person should affect the whole community. At verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, for if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoices together. Have you ever hit your little toe? You ever brush by the side of the bed or by a dresser or something, hit your little toe? My goodness, like I think that's how the little toe got the name baby toe. Because it got hit and you just had to hold it. Your whole body felt it. And you begin to talk to your body like a baby. Oh, it's going to go. Oh, you made noises. Oh, you felt that pain with that little baby toe. I have a question. Why is the baby toe on the outside of the foot? Why wasn't the baby toe put in the middle of the foot? So to avoid it being knocked up and hurt and paining, why would you put the smallest, the most sensitive part of the foot on the outside? It doesn't make sense to me. But when the toe hits, the whole body feels it. Some of you, even as I'm saying that, you're thinking back to a time when you hit your foot and that pain is going through your body because the whole body remembers, the whole body suffers. Go ahead and hit your head, the whole body feels it. Go ahead and hit your knee, the whole body feels it. Even when your knee's paining, your foot's paining you, your whole body's reacting. Your hands down, they're just rubbing it. Oh, just rubbing it, just rubbing it. Your whole body's connected to it. Your whole body, your body's trying to give comfort. Your body's trying to do something to rub yourself down, to help. Your body is trying to help because the whole body functions. The same thing is in the body of Christ. When someone is hurting, we all hurt. We all go and rub that part of the body. We show up to help that part of the body. Oh, we felt it when there's loss in the body of Christ, when there's pain in the body of Christ, when there's with a family that's going through something in the body of Christ. Oh, we feel that. If you're not feeling it, then question your connectedness to the body of Christ. If it's just like, oh man, I pray that survive, you know, those brush prayers, yeah, better than me. Then question your connectedness to the body of Christ. Question your connectedness to the local body. Then when you hear of someone going through something, you feel it. Right? The whole foot was meant to operate as one unit, helping the body stand and to provide balance. So God determined that the big toe had to be on the inside and the little toe had to be on the outside. He determined that. He put everything where it's supposed to be and said, now function together. And as the body of Christ, we become unified when we pray together. We become unified when we study the word of God together. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ together. When we go through things and we share, we pray for each other. It's not to say, man, I'm better than you. Thank God I'm not going through that. But we suffer with each other. Well, at the same point, we honor. When one is honored, we get honored with them. We celebrate with them. When someone gets a job, even though we don't have one, we celebrate with them. We celebrate with them. We rejoice with them. Because not to rejoice with them, again, we have to question our connectedness to the body of Christ. Are we in competition? Are we in competition? I remember when, you know, in weightlifting years ago, weightlifting with Mark Christie, and, you know, we started using free weights. And as using free weights, I began to notice that my left arm was a bit weaker than my right arm, right? Because you favor your right arm, I'm right-handed. And so the wisdom was then to go to a machine where it puts both arms on the same level so that they can then lift at the same time and experience the weight at the same time and be in unison as they lift to be able to strengthen them. And then when they are in unison and have the equal strength, then we can go back to free weights and they can lift individual things, right? The same thing within the body of Christ. When we are unified, if there's, Paul says, hey, yeah, there may be those that you see as weaker, but they're not weaker. They're so important to the body of Christ. They're so valuable to the body of Christ. The baby toe is so important to the whole body. It's so important. We cannot do this on our own. And the only way we can truly be united is by asking God to humble us, so that we can work together and be unified. In other words, it takes effort to be in unity as a body. It takes effort. As I'm running, my feet have to be working with my hands and balance. One day, Jeremiah and I were at a pair of lights at the stop sign just over close to our house. And we watched this guy who was probably drunk, but as he was walking, he began to move his feet at the same way he was moving his legs. So, you know, like someone who walks, they walk and they swing, but he was moving his hands the same way he was moving his legs. And we both stopped and paused and we started laughing because a guy was probably drunk and he was trying to act as sober as possible. But in trying to be sober, he didn't realize that he was moving his hands at the same time he was moving his feet. And he looked like one of those wind-up toys that we see. Because to work together takes effort. It takes effort for the hands to swing, for the feet to move the way it's supposed to move, that the head goes bobbing. Like, it takes effort for the mouth to talk. It takes effort for everything to work and function together in unity. It takes effort. It takes effort for me to be able to raise my hand, to raise my foot. It takes effort for me to squat. The whole body has to operate in squatting and bending. I have to protect my back when I'm lifting. I can lift properly so my legs take majority of it. It takes effort for the whole body to work in unity and to work in function. So in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, hey, be completely humble and gentle. He says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. At the end of Romans chapter 12, where I read, Paul then goes into love. Let your love be genuine. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as he talks about the gifts, he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love passage. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not envy. The gifts and the body of Christ has to function in love. Paul says, yeah, you can have all these gifts, but if love is not there, if we're not patient with each other, we're not bearing with one another, we have to make every effort, he says, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We have to make every effort to be in unity. Every effort to be on the same page. Every effort to be moving and functioning as the body of Jesus Christ. Every effort to make the call. Every effort to rejoice with someone when we're not getting the blessing, but they're getting it. It makes every effort for us to rejoice with them. We have to make every effort to help heal those who are hurting. We have to make every effort to make people feel welcome. We have to make every effort to function as the body. Every effort. Right now, as you're sitting there listening, some of you are trying to make every effort to stay and pay attention, trying to make every effort to sit up straight, make every effort to not think about lunch coming after, make every effort. It takes effort. And through Jesus Christ, he destroyed the dividing walls of hostility that for us to be divided. He destroyed that. He already handled that. And as our head, he's trying to hold us together as the body of Christ. Requires effort. And he created us to be unified. God created this unity through Jesus Christ, and it becomes our peace. There's peace in the body of Christ when we are functioning together in unity. We're on the same mission, moving in the same way, trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to show them an authentic way to serve the Lord, trying to show them how to worship and praise the Lord, trying to show them how do people function when they're at odds with each other, trying to show them that we're going to fight to stay unified. Even though we disagree, we can, but for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're still going to work together. Even though we may have different opinions, we're going to make the effort to remain in unity, because as soon as the devil can separate and divide, the Bible says everything falls. Because a kingdom divided against itself is going to fall. The same thing with the church divided against itself, it's going to fall. We make every effort to be in unity. That's why we apologize. That's why we make it right. That's why we approach people and have those conversations. We don't just go running to another church thinking we're going to escape it. No. We're the body of Christ. No matter where you go, it's going to follow you. Because if you're part of the body of Christ, he's still going to hold you accountable for making sure the body operates like the body. So if you have an odds with someone at Dayspring and you leave to go to Kingdom House, guess what's going to follow you? The Holy Spirit that's still going to convict you to make it right. He's still going to convict you to make. Why? Because the body of Christ is at Kingdom House as the body of Christ is at Dayspring. And we may think we're escaping and running, but he's going to allow us to get to the place where we make every effort to keep peace and unity. And that comes through forgiving each other. It comes through bearing with each other. It comes with being authentic and honest with each other. It comes with being transparent with each other. And so we should operate and cooperate with the Spirit in keeping with this unity in the body. And we protect the unity of the body. We protect the unity of the body. We don't allow anyone or anything to speak against the unity of the body. We're unified in worshiping. We're unified in praying. We're unified as we're bleeding for a building. We're unified. We're unified. So if a part of the body is saying, oh, I'm not too sure what's going to happen, then as a unified body, we make every effort to say, keep believing, keep giving, keep walking. As one is drifting away from the Lord, we make every effort to still call, still pray for them, still bring the word of God to them, to show them a more excellent way. We make every effort to ensure that unity remains. And we fight together. As the body, we fight together. We don't just allow the hands to fight. No, we get our feet kicking. We use our hips and just knock somebody out of the way. We use our chest, we use our head, and we headbutt them. We bite, we scratch, we do whatever we can. Every part of the body is included in the fight. Every part of the body. We remain unified. And if we lose the unity, the church can't stand. So we must keep the unity of the Spirit in the body of Christ as our first priority. Jesus was unified. In each location, the local church, it consists of a body of Christ. Every church that is serving the true living God is part of the body of Christ. Every believer is a member of the body of Christ. Every believer. So let's examine ourselves. Are we behaving like members of the body of Christ? Are we judging other churches? Are we criticizing other churches? Are we criticizing other people in the body of Christ? Now I know that we do that to our own human bodies. Right? We do that to our own human bodies. We look in the mirror, we criticize what we see. We criticize what may not be functioning right. But that's not the way the body of Christ was meant to be. So we need to ask ourselves some questions as I close. Are we functioning as the body of Christ? Are you functioning as part of the body of Christ? Are you behaving as a member of the body of Christ? Are you obedient to the head of the body, Jesus Christ? Are you reading and listening and participating in the things that the head of the body, Jesus Christ, is calling you to be a part of? Are we as a local church, as Dayspring, are we doing the work of the body of Christ? Are we operating as Jesus Christ would operate? Are we representing him well here on earth? Do non-believers look at us as a local church or as a believer in the body of Christ? Do they see Christ working in us and through us? Do they see the diversity working in unity, or do they hear the division from us? Do they see us attending, yet we're criticizing? Do they hear about the division that's taking place? In the next few weeks, we're going to evaluate the body of Christ. We're going to evaluate our own part within the body of Christ, especially as it relates to Dayspring Christian Church, so that we can be functioning as a body, glorifying God as a body, doing what we've been called to do by the Lord as a body, and taking stock that if we are the hands, if we're stuck in the pockets, it's time to come out of the pockets. That as we're the lips and we're trying to point, that's not our job to point. We're doing so many different functions when there are others who are sitting by and they're spectating. Every part of the body is to function. Every part of the body has its role. Every part of the body is to glorify God as one unit, as a praise and glory to him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word.